Calling to order the regular City Council study session of Wednesday, January 4th, 2012. I hope all council members are here, our full new 2012 council. And the first item up is the WSF Capital Opportunity Funds. And welcome to all of you. And the discussion leader is that you then, Debbie, ad hoc committee?
I'll certainly jump into it. At our last meeting, we signed a resolution. And the three items that we stated as council, the decisions we made were: one, a new restricted reserve fund is created that is called the Capital Improvement Opportunity Reserve, and the Washington State's settlement funds shall be transferred to this fund. Two, funds from the Capital Improvement Opportunity Reserve shall only be used to support one-time capital projects with a water nexus. The funds shall not be used to support ongoing staff maintenance or program cost. And then three, a minimum of 5 City Council votes are required to use any of the funds for the Capital Improvement Opportunity Reserve. And at the end, we began discussion and decided that we would move this to the new council. We were considering potentially going down different options, creating a potentially an ad hoc committee similar to what we did with the open space, or council could decide that it wishes to move forward with a particular project or process. So what, from the two meetings that we held with the community, many proposals were brought forward, and they ranged from non-motorized transportation, road ends, renovation of the public dock, to also an opportunity for baseball field improvement and a community arts center. So we had a lack of proposals. The other thing that I thought that was quite interesting is that we had people come forward with concepts on the process, i.e. potentially forming a committee and looking at potentially this being a funding source that could be used as, say, seed money for different projects. Often when grant opportunities come forward for groups, the initial seed money and sponsorship of the city or an organization is often difficult to begin the first step. So this potentially could do that. So council, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor to begin discussion on this and see how we wish to move forward.
Anyone want to start? Well, I'm certainly supportive of the idea that came forward from the community of creating some sort of a commission, a citizen commission, advisory commission with a limited term to take a look at all the proposals and evaluate all the options and see if they can come up with a recommendation. Anyone else? Bob?
I'm not in favor of forming a commission. I'm in favor of the council making a decision as quickly as possible as to how to spend the funds. I think if we were to try to form a commission, the recommendations of the commission will depend on who you put on the commission. If you put on people who are interested in non-motorized, that will be the recommendation. If they're interested in ball fields, that will be the recommendation. If they're interested in the dock, that will be the recommendation. We know pretty much the universe of ideas that are out there. It's a difficult decision to be able to choose from all of those very laudable options, and it all have different constituencies on the island. But at some point, the council has to make a decision. Otherwise, the money's just going to sit in the bank for a long time. And I think the sooner we make that decision, the better.
Stephen?
Yeah, I agree with both of you, except it seems to me that the City Council could go and define a set of alternatives that would be along with what Bob is talking about in terms of here are the different alternatives that we think might make sense to evaluate. and then have a commission go and flesh those out a little bit more so that we can get a broader set of inputs rather than having the few inputs that we had from very specific select people. So I think with a discussion up here that would define a half a dozen different alternatives in terms of the vision of what the waterfront park or how the money could be spent, and then the commission to go look at that. And so that kind of overcomes the issue, I think, that Bob pointed out, which I think is right. If you load the committee up with a single mindset, you're going to get that mindset back. So that's another view.
Effie?
It was council-elect at the time, but now it's Councilmember Bonkowski and I on Monday. We went and met with the executive director of Bainbridge Community Foundation, and it was an exploratory discussion. I have also met with members of One Call for All, and basically I was trying to educate myself on their particular processes and how we as a council could potentially create a process or work with an agency. And I say work with because many times the city has selected a designated agency, such as Bainbridge Island Arts Humanities Council for our cultural fund, Friends of the Farm for the management of our farmland, and I looked at those two entities, One Call for All and the Bainbridge Community Foundation, as leaders in granting opportunities and investment. And I say investment. Last year, we got a big whopping 1% for our $2 million as it sat in the bank. And in questioning the Bainbridge Community Foundation, what is their investment rate? And they do a conservative investment, and they get an 8% return, and then after the fees, it's about 5%. So we could have had five times the interest amount that could have been invested. And so I'm curious and interested if other council members would consider possibly working with a community organization that they already do this kind of reviewing, vetting. That was the other part that I really appreciate. Any of the grant opportunities that come forward, they actually look at the individual nonprofits, check out to make sure that they can produce and complete the project or the funding that they're asking for will be spent wisely and properly.
David?
Well, I'm in favor of having some sort of citizens group or committee, either an existing organization or something that's appointed by the council. And, you know, I've got three things that are particularly important to me on this. I want to make sure that the efforts of the citizens who work so hard to make this money happen are recognized, the Jesse Hayes of the world, and make sure that we put some sort of criteria on the money that there's water-related activities. I want to make sure that the assessment of each potential project is done fairly with a reasonable set of criteria, and the rankings are made available at the end of that. And I don't see any particular need to rush to judgment on this. I'd just as soon take enough time to do a reasonable job of evaluating the potential projects, and I don't feel compelled to move forward in the next 2 weeks or 2 months.
Sarah?
I kind of agree with Steve's approach. Have a committee, but maybe limit the number of projects we send to them beforehand so it doesn't drag on and on and on, and provide some criteria from the council what's important.
Thank you. I think that the suggestion of working with the Bainbridge Community Foundation, because of their long track record in doing that, has a lot of merit. I think there are a couple of things that occur to me. One of them is that we as a council, however we do it, whether it's pulling in a citizen group to help advise, we need to be able to give whoever is the group or doing the vetting, whatever that process, they need to have direction from us, basically a policy direction, a goal, and that we can talk about the criterion for selection. That may be a place where it would be helpful to have a citizen group involved in thinking about the criteria of the selection, or we could talk with the Community Foundation, who has a very explicit criteria for how they look at it once they've been given direction by the donor. And in this particular instance, we would be called the donor, I think, in that relationship. So there's still work for the City Council to do in terms of thinking about direction. I like very much the fact that we might work in partnership with a group that has a 10-year history of doing this and of dealing with large sums of money that often are given out in large quantities at a given time at the direction of a donor. So that would be something to me that's in that. I would figure out some way that we would set up the conversation but have them do the vetting and the awarding, which I think might begin to address some of Bob's concerns, because that is already a panel that is pulled together both from that board and from the community. So they have a group of people to do that vetting, and that seems to me to have some merit right up front. The other question, which I just, and we can, I think it's a second one or a separate one, and Debbie, you mentioned the investment of the money. Mm-hmm. That probably needs to be explored. I think that's a separate question as to the awarding of it and what we do with whether or not we can invest public dollars through a private foundation. And it's private, it's a public 501c3 in a charitable thing, but it is handling it differently. So that to me is a second question. It probably deserves attention, and particularly in respect to Dave's observation that there isn't necessarily a hurry.
You know, one broad question is, are we trying to bring together different interests, different interest groups, or try to find a consensus or some sort of collaborative outcome, or are we opening it up to any range of projects and having this group consist of people who will assess all the projects? I think either way is possible. We did notice with coming forward, we had main themes of non-motorized transportation, waterfront improvements. There were a couple of particularly strong asks from broad interest groups in the community. I mean, really represent some of the larger segments of community projects. So one possibility would be, you talked about whoever's on there will be advocating for whatever they want, but that sort of being the idea of getting the group together. If you simplistically said you had people there from non-motorized, you have people there from the waterfront, and you had people from BICC, did I add FCs on that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So that you have those different interests at the table, and the goal was for them to come up with an outcome that possibly satisfied everybody, versus trying to constitute a group that's just sort of a neutral group that's bringing in those interests. Debbie?
I lost my thread. I think I was going to respond to Anne's question about the interest. My only concern was in the conversation was seeing that we got about 1% interest, whereas they were tracking 8%, 5 to 8%. That was my only thing that piqued my interest in terms of collaborating with a group that actually understands investment.
So actually, Anne, turning over a committee or a decision-making process or recommendation process to another nonprofit group wouldn't allay my concerns, because that's not what they're designed to do. I mean, this is a major policy decision, and we were all elected to make policy decisions, not to delegate it to a nonprofit to say, well, we don't know how to make this decision. We want you to make it for us. So my concern is that we're talking about setting up a process that is very unlikely to give us more information or a better idea of how we should make our policy decision, and that at some point the council has to make a decision. Right now we have $2 million that's burning a hole in our pocket that we don't know what to do with. And if we're going to have any kind of process, I suggest it be a council-directed process, and that we have community input, whether it's from selected individuals or the community at large, to provide us with more information, and then we make a decision. I don't think that we should delegate this to a nonprofit or a committee or a commission or anything else, because it's just going to delay the ultimate decision-making, which has to be done by us.
Debbie, yeah.
I guess I don't have the $2 million burning a hole in my pocket vision. I'm thinking of the long-term vision that it took us 30 years to get to this place. We had a settlement come forward. Is it possible that this particular funding can be leveraged to generate more than $2 million, that it can potentially be seed investment or revolving grant opportunities, and that it just not be spent in a blink of an eye, and then we say we have one project, whereas investment in the community can create ongoing opportunities and give assistance to those organizations that bring forward ideas, that having that sign of the city matching some funds, be it small or great, that we could leverage so much more and make this $2 million go further and not be so quickly spent at one time.
Well, it does seem that we have an initial policy decision that we wouldn't be able to go forward without making, which is, are we interested in this being a pot of a revolving fund, or are we interested in spending the money on projects or a project? I would think that we would decide that before we went to whatever group it would constitute.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, unless we may have different assumptions here. I've not assumed that this is going to be a revolving fund, but rather that we were trying to help. I see this as community money. I mean, that's where I'm different than Bob. This is a unique.
I think it's community money.
Okay,
but we have to make the decision. I'm not saying it's not community money.
Right, so we make it.
We represent the community.
Right, we represent the community, but we will make the ultimate decision. This is an advisory body. And the reason I think this is uniquely valuable here is because we are trying to determine what the community's desire is, what would be the best use of the money, and at the same time, to satisfy the most people, at the same time, meet the spirit of the source of the money, which is to honor those individuals who gave so much to get us to this point. So we're in a delicate balance, and we're trying to, which of course we normally do as policymakers, substitute our judgment or put ourselves in their places to make these decisions. But I just think this particular decision is uniquely suited to bring the different interests together and give them a chance to see if they can come up with a solution that accomplishes multiple goals. And that's something that we actually can't do for them. So we make the ultimate decision, but that's why I, in this particular situation, think this is a good idea. I even see bringing a facilitator in if it starts to break down, see if that might work. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm with Debbie. I don't think it's burning a hole in our pocket. I think if we have a process underway, we're honoring our commitment to the community. Steve?
One of the things that I would personally be very interested in is, are there ways, as Debbie mentioned, that we can leverage the funds? I mean, there have been a number of cases where cities, more in the economic development, have used seed money that then is granted, matched with private money, matched combination of donation as well as business, to get a project done that is bigger than what any of the entities can afford. So I think, you know, with the amount of money that we have in today's economy, $2 million is a lot of money. And I think if there is a way to in any way leverage that to be larger, not just in the sense of state grants, okay, but in terms of community involvement, business involvement, to provide a venue that is larger than what we could do on our own, I think is something that I think would be very worth exploring.
Well, what are our next steps, Bob?
I guess I'm certainly not opposed to the idea of designating this as a fund that can be used to leverage other opportunities, so a matching fund of some sort. All I'm saying is that we need to make, I think we need to make a decision sooner rather than later as to how this fund is going to be used, whether it's going to be spent on certain project or used as a matching fund. Right now we have three basic policies that are in a resolution which really don't do very much and give much guidance. And obviously this council can change those policies if they don't agree with those policies. And the reason that I said that we have $2 million burning a hole in our pocket is because we have a lot of proposals out there. We have a lot of people in the community that have great ideas for how this money can be used for the community's benefit, and we're sitting on it, and we're not doing anything with it, and we've sat on it for a year now. And my concern is that we'll sit on it for another year and go on to the next council and sit on it for another year. Meanwhile, the community is saying, we have all these ideas, but you're not willing to do any of them. So I just want to set up whatever process we do, I just hope that we make decisions quickly about how we're going to use this money.
I would like to know about the process of doing this. It seems the nth example of inefficiency for the seven of us to sit here and dream up a process. I would like to suggest, but I don't know if the process of having something of a subcommittee that at least drafts a proposal to come back specifically with some ideas, so that then we can start from nothing. We don't need to start from whole cloth. I think the conversation is perhaps more productive. And I think we have heard approaches. We are certainly hearing from community members, and did during the process of developing these three policies, not only ideas for how to spend the money, but for how to decide. So all of us have received some input. We've heard this conversation tonight. May I suggest that the mayor appoint, or however it's done, in my sense was
volunteer.
From the past, that you had a list and you took the top three out. I don't know what you do, but some way you come up with a group of people from this council to draft an approach, and that be considered, and it not be considered over the life of this year, but within the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And come up with that to then hone it. And the one piece that would be helpful, it seems to me, from the subcommittee to the subcommittee would be whether or not we want to ultimately then involve a larger community group somehow, because I think we need to give some parameters even to a subgroup.
I think it's a great idea. In fact, this was originally slated to be led by the ad hoc committee, which I think is you right now. So, no, the volunteer basis, we can see who here, but up to three people, would like to serve on the ad hoc committee. I'm assuming you would, Debbie.
I would.
Dave and Ann. Okay, so there you go. You guys can move forward.
Being a study session, do
yes.
you want to hear from the...
Yes. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to the issue of what process we use to make this decision?
Hi, Elise Wright, 10799 Bill Point View, and Vice President of Bainbridge Island Concerned Citizens. You all have been very complimentary tonight and saying, you know, that this process and the money and everything is to honor the people who worked on it, and I certainly do honor Jesse and Rachel and Bob, but I know that our goal is not to be honored, but to have the funds used for what everyone worked for all those years ago, which was just to provide community access to the water for residents of Bainbridge Island. So I would suggest that the first thing you do is choose criteria, have the ad hoc committee suggest criteria for making that possible. My dream, having heard all of the wonderful suggestions, was that we get a committee together with all the stakeholders and see how we can come up with something that's bigger than any single proposal. I don't know if that's possible, but I'm happy to advise you or help in any way I can. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Mark Leese, Chair of the Harbour Commission. I understand the process of involving more people. We believe, of course, at the Harbour Commission that there's tremendous benefit to so many rowers, kayakers, youths, on Bainbridge Island, as well as the downtown community. So we have involved a lot of community people, and they've spoken out in various ways during the last year. Whilst I recognize it would be good to have, if we are going to have a committee, I believe it should be an independent committee and not stakeholders. I think stakeholders will just forever argue between who wants this money, how we're going to spend it and what for. So I think that would be a delaying process. I don't think that would be a good idea. So that's my two penny worth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy Fortner, I don't have any thoughts about how to determine how to use the money, but in terms of leveraging the money before you spend it or to maximize the potential of using the money, I haven't heard anybody talk about asking the staff for their input and expertise about what might be some of those ways to do it, and it seems to me that would be an obvious resource for you.
Anyone else?
I'm Jeannie Huber, and I just wanted to applaud the idea of at least using part of the money to continue the benefits on into the future and, you know, see if there's a way to seed things that then would be repaid so that it could be used again, or at least make sure that, you know, the money is given in a seed amount and then grants are sought, and maybe if they're not available and more money needs to be given, that be another decision. But to just fund a project without even seeing whether you can make it be more than that amount, I think would be really a sad story. Thank you.
I'm Dave Kircher. I'm also on the Harbor Commission along with Mark. Wanted to just let everybody know that one of the ways to leverage the money, particularly for the dock project that the Harbor Commission has proposed, is through the State Recreation and Conservation Office's grants. There's a substantial amount of money on the table from those grants. There are three. I think we stand a pretty good chance of getting some of that money because we haven't gotten any in the past. I guess we did get a grant approved a few years ago, but we weren't able to match it. There's only a 25% match requirement. That doesn't mean we'll get 75% of the cost. However, it does address Steve's comment about leveraging the money, and it's something we ought to definitely keep in mind. Thanks.
Thank you. Sure. You mind stepping back to the microphone? Anne Blair has a question.
Or Mark, could I just ask either of you, on that state grant, is there a timeline? It had been mentioned before and mm-hmm. that there was a February deadline, or at least for the letter of interest. Have I got the different grant application timelines messed up, or is there a time constraint for that? Because isn't that money just available every other year?
There are some limits on in terms of time. Some of the grants need to be in by May 1st, June? I think it's June 1st and July. So there's a little bit of time before the grants have to be in.
And you don't have to turn in a letter of interest in March?
No, I don't believe you do. There does need to be a resolution from the council that follows a format that the Recreation and Conservation Office has developed, and that's basically a commitment of the match funds. The other thing we need for one of the grants, which is the grant that really serves rowers and non-motorized vessels, that needs to have a comprehensive plan along with it, and that's due March 1st. So there are some deadlines that come up before the June and July time frame. So we need to get moving relatively soon, have a decision and have a commitment from the council to provide the matching funds.
Thank you.
And we'll get you a schedule of all those dates.
I think that would, I mean, I think that sort of thing is very helpful, although the spirit in which this conversation is happening is that it's moving ahead.
That's great. Thanks.
Can I just add to that? Sorry. I did send to all council members a presentation of ours, and if you look at the notes, I can't go into details now, but if you look at the notes, it does tell you slide 8, I think, gives you all the timelines required and the grants available. Thank you.
That's what I was concerned about. Thank you for reminding us.
And Mr. Leese, thank you for checking with the other organizations about potentially applying for the grant with you in terms of doing matching. I know you're going to go and attend the Parks Board meeting tomorrow evening. And I guess the other thing is to have the larger conversation, the community conversation, in terms of is that where we wish to move with our waterfront. We have our marina district, and currently the waterfront has a great view corridor. It would be excellent if we had the larger conversation. Is this where we wish to move to add additional marina parking at this area? So that's part of what my wish is, that we have those larger conversations. Thank you.
Okay, Council, so we're at the end of our half-hour discussion. It sounds like we're moving forward with an ad hoc committee that will report back to us within a couple weeks. Does that sound good?
Thank you.
Okay. Next item up is citizen committee vacancies, and the discussion leader is Morgan Smith.
Good evening. I wanted to take you through a review of where things stand on a pretty important piece of housekeeping. We have, throughout 2011, been struggling with how best to address some of the lingering vacancies on our key committees and commissions, and this picks up where things stand at this point and what's next in terms of items that need to be resolved. So what I wanted to step through tonight was a review of the process that was used previously to assign council members to the interview panels for the various committees and commissions. And as a way of trying not to bite off the universe at once, we have been grouping these things in terms of what seem to be the most pressing needs, based mainly on what role the committee or group has in terms of day-to-day business operations of the city. So we most recently focused very intently on filling the Civil Service Commission and the Ethics Committee, and so there's actually sort of a Group A above this, but for what's remaining, there's a Group A, which is the places where we have vacancies that people have already applied for and they're ready to be considered. We have a second tier then of two groups that we have advertised for recently that we'll need to take care of applicants for that. Then beyond that, we have proposed that we would next advertise for these three, and then we have some remaining issues with four other groups. So my plan tonight was to go through these topics if that seems suitable. So starting first with a review for those of you and also the public's benefit to make sure we understand the process that has been in place was that interview panels were comprised of three council members, and the process of choosing those council members was essentially to select them in order of the council position number. So, for example, there are your position numbers 1 through 7, and our current council members and the previous council members, just to explain. And then just as an example, for the Civil Service Commission and the Ethics Board, We were at the top of the order by the time we got to Civil Service Commission, so position numbers 1, 2, and 3, those were the folks on that interview panel, and then with ethics then 4, 5, and 6. So if you continue this process, the next three up would be 7, 1, and 2. So I don't know if council wants to take a moment and talk about whether you'd like to continue that or just hold that for the end of the conversation. But I basically wanted to outline where the areas of decision points are for you.
I say we wait till we discuss this.
Okay. So then going with Group A. So there are two groups for which we went ahead and advertised. We've received applicants. Those applicants are waiting to be reviewed. The first of these is the ETAC, Environmental Technical Advisory Committee. There are three terms for that committee that did end in November. There are six members currently. You can have anywhere from 7 to 9 for the group to be whole. The reason it's sort of on the front line is that it has a very critical role in the SMP update, so we want to keep that moving forward in an expedited way. We received two applications for as many as three vacancies. So the next steps here are we have applications ready to be reviewed. We would need council to determine the interview panel, to schedule interviews, and move forward towards appointments. In a similar status, we have the Design Review Board. There are five members currently and two vacancies. All of the current members, all five of those folks, are architects, and our code specifies that that board should have a mix. We received two applications for the two vacancies. However, both of the applicants were architects. The reason that this is at the top of our list is just to make clear they have ongoing regular work related to site plan reviews and are always sort of up and running. So we want to keep them functional and able to meet their requirements. The next steps for council would be to advise whether you'd like to re-advertise, given that the two applicants that we have are also architects and we don't have any diversity per our code. And then we would need to confirm the interview panel from the council and schedule the interviews. Group B, these are two groups that we have recently advertised for. The deadline for applications is on the 11th. The first of these is the Planning Commission. There are five current members and two vacancies. The two vacancies I'm talking about will be up at the end of January. Of course, the Planning Commission has a very critical role in the SMP update, and we want to avoid any gaps in membership, so we'd like to move as quickly as possible to establish the council's interview panel and schedule those interviews and try, if at all possible, to be ready to keep those appointments in place to pick up when the ending terms expire. The Utility Advisory Committee can have, as we said, 7 to 9 members. There are six members currently. We also want to keep this committee as functional and moving forward as possible. We have some ongoing utility issues that we want not to have an unusual halt in. So again, we'd like to have council select your interview panel, schedule your interviews, and again, have a goal, hopefully, of having that committee made whole by the end of January. Any questions? So Group C, this is moving to sort of a different flavor. Again, we tried to triage the problem last year, and Group C are what we would consider to be our next at bat once we've resolved A and B. And we believe that the next most sort of critical to city operations would be the Harbor Commission, where we have two terms that are scheduled to expire at the end of February, Historic Preservation Commission, where we have two existing vacancies and two other terms coming up later in the winter. There's an issue here that needs to be addressed in terms of what experience or skills you'd like to seek there. It's a similar question to the diversity on the Design Review Board. And then in the Non-Motorized Transportation Advisory Committee, we have four vacancies currently. One of the reasons I want to make clear that we package these is that the advertising is not cheap, and it's just more efficient to do two and even three at the same time and get in that cycle. So this is our suggestion for what the next wave would be. So we might think about planning to advertise in February for these if we're successful in managing A and B in January. And then moving on to D, this is where we get some more complicated issues. We have four groups here that I don't suggest we try and problem solve for tonight. I just wanted to highlight where the issues are with these, and when we get a little further along with those first sets, then we can come back to problem solving for these areas. Community Forestry Commission has one member currently and eight vacancies. Before we advertise and think about that committee, I think it's appropriate for council to determine exactly what the scope of that group is and how it might intersect with the tree ordinance and the ad hoc committee doing work there. Housing Trust Fund Executive Committee has 5 current members and 2 vacancies. However, it's probably also appropriate for council to give some thought to what the scope and mission for that group is, given that we currently have a 0 fund balance for the subfund there. Road Ends Committee, the issue here is an administrative one. There are 7 members. It's not a question of vacancies, but it is the case that we are not complying with city policy because I think most, if not all, of those members were original appointments, and we are not supposed to keep folks who are not reappointed past their 3-year term. So we need to look at that and decide how you want to proceed. And then Salary Commission, we have 5 current members, 2 vacancies. The question here is how to interest people in serving. We have had no responses to the last 2 recruitment efforts. So again, Group D is not stuff I think we need to solve for right away. I just want to introduce you to what those questions are so that when we succeed in doing our work for the first 3 waves, we can come back to D and troubleshoot some. So council can decide how you want to, whether you want to spend some time on this tonight, which I think would be helpful given the timing issues. If you'd like, I can kind of go back and step through where the actual decision points are.
Okay. We have a couple of broad issues that we need to deal with. One being, whether we continue with the rotating 3-member cycle. So for you new members, it's tended to be challenging to coordinate 3 people's schedules plus all of the applicants. It's really been quite cumbersome. And so I think the prior council was maybe unanimous in saying it was time to think about maybe something different. So that's something that we need to think about. How many people do we feel represent the council, need to interview them in person? I personally think we should interview people in person, but maybe this council won't feel that way. Do we just review the written materials? So we really probably need to reimagine this in a way that will work with all of our schedules and be more efficient. It's also difficult for Kate Brown to coordinate all of these different, say, 7 applicants and 3 council members and some of us working. And so I don't know if Bob or Debbie from last year have any particular ideas about what you wanted to see.
I agree with you about the interviewing in person. I think certainly people are appear to have qualities that when you actually interview, I've been greatly surprised. And so I think that's very important to have the in-person interviews. And also, if people are taking the time to fill out all of the applications and defining their experience, I think we need to honor that and show up and interview them. In terms of the rotating, because I live nearby, I was often able to simply run over if someone was unable to meet. I have more flexibility that way. In terms of numbers, I think that we chose 3 if there were challenges with difficulty in terms of deciding which members. We had a 3rd person to be able to break a tie.
And another thing to lay out for you is background. So as I recall, the RCW says that the mayor makes these appointments. And certainly when we started off as a new council 2 years ago and we're trying to be as egalitarian as possible and diminish the mayoral role as much as possible, we didn't want the mayor to do that. I definitely would not have liked to have done all these interviews myself this past year, but that's an option on the table that you should know about, that the mayor could make those. Under the law, that's the way it is, and so we sort of are circumventing that by bringing a recommendation forward, and theoretically the mayor is actually making the recommendation to council.
In practical terms, I don't think there were many instances where the interview panel was not unanimous, and so but it is difficult to get 3 council members and then all the applicants together. So what I would suggest we try initially is moving it to 2 council members. Then if there is any dispute, then the mayor could break the tie either by reviewing the application or actually interviewing. And that way it'd be a lot easier logistically, and we would have to do it as council members less frequently, and then we can play it by ear and see if that's still too burdensome. But it seems to me if we only have 2, that reduces our workload and then Kate Brown's workload quite a bit.
Agreed. Stephen?
I don't know if what the problem was in terms of getting the 3 people together plus the Is that something that technology can solve? Because I know in the private sector, we're now using Skype to do interviews mm-hmm. and things like that. Is that, having not had the experience that the three of you have had, would that have been a benefit in terms of providing that face-to-face that you need that adds to the written resume?
It's possible. We certainly have done some teleconferencing, mm-hmm. but that would be preferable, I think, to be able to actually see somebody. We could talk about that. Usually what we're dealing with is that many of those we're interviewing work, and many of those on council have obligations, including work. So mm-hmm. between that, it becomes very complex. But I like that idea. I don't know if we have the ability mm-hmm. to do that in there, but it would be an option that would allow us.
You can do it on almost any, mm-hmm. you can do it on almost any computer these
yeah.
days. So.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Dave?
This rotating process has its strengths and weaknesses, but I think maybe I would agree that possibly having two council persons and then having a third if somebody's interested in something. For example, I would be much more interested in and have more abilities to participate in the selection of people for the Forestry Commission than I would for the Salary Commission. And the process here might have me sitting on the Salary Commission and having no access to the Forestry Commission. So I think, a rotating thing combined with people's interests to get two or three mm-hmm. is worth considering.
Anyone else? Sarah?
I think when people have a particular interest or area of expertise, the rotating position doesn't take advantage of that. And so, I would be in favor of asking for volunteers first, and I know maybe that was a problem, and that's why we started rotating, or something along the line of Dave's suggestion, where maybe one of the members is able to volunteer.
I like Dave's idea. It gives us the best of both worlds. It guarantees two, and it allows us to participate in our areas of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we started out with the volunteer concept, and it was difficult because couldn't. And then Kate had to sort of coordinate who's volunteering, and this gives us some certainty for Kate to arrange it. But I'm more than happy to give up my spot if somebody's interested in interviewing a particular candidate. I'm more than happy to switch. So I think if people are really interested in interviewing certain candidates, I'm sure, or certain panels, that I'm sure that can be accommodated.
I should interject that when you look back historically, the actual interview panel was more often than not the actual rotating group, either because of conflicts
right.
or because some of that swapping.
Right.
So,
okay. So it sounds like we maybe have a consensus. Should we go forward with two plus one, the possibility of up to three with a rotating person or
okay.
a volunteer? Yeah.
So with that in mind, could we take a stab at populating the interview committee for ETAC mm-hmm. since we have applicants ready to be reviewed?
One issue, I think another issue we need to take up is possibly the how much value we're getting from the advertisements. I'm wondering how many people are really reading them and seeing them.
Well, so the most recent wave that we did for Planning Commission in UAC, we did in the Review and in the Sun, we did on the city's website, and we did the listserv push out. So we're hitting a variety of media with, there is some cost to it. The cost, I think, is more that we almost every month or so have had to do these advertisements. I'm not sure where you would get a more cost-effective bang for your buck.
Well, I think it would be helpful for us to ask people how they heard about it, how many people are hearing it word of mouth anyway versus actually coming in from the ads. And I think we should also be encouraging each other and our commissions and committees to be actively recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we're really going to do things, like put artists on the design review board. They're not going to realize that they might have a place on the design review board, but if we reach out, they might. Debbie?
That's a good point. There are some great listservs, Bainbridge Island Arts and Humanities Council, that would be certainly a listserv that I would send out the design review board. And there are also things like Island Moms, Inside Bainbridge. There are lots of sources that we could start tapping as well.
What is the cost? We talk about it's expensive.
I think it's about
$5 or $5,000.
$70 and something like that. I'd have to check. I think we measure the cost relative to the budget we had for advertising this year, and it was more than the budget, let's say. So it's not a $10,000 number. It's that it's relative to what we had planned to do.
Could you actually bring that number back to us? I think it's worth having a conversation
sure.
about that. Did anyone else spot any issues, or did you, Morgan, want to bring up another one?
Well, I was hoping if we used the process that you talked about, I think we would pick the hybrid of the rotating and volunteer would be that 7 and 1 would be the first up for ETAC. So that would be Councilmember Scales and Councilmember Bonkowski. And unless you all want to do some horse trading around that. And is there anyone else who'd like to participate in that interview panel? No. Okay.
No.
So those candidates will be reviewed, and Kate will work on scheduling that. And then the next decision point is design review board. We have two applicants for the two vacancies. The issue is whether council wants to consider those applicants or wants to go back out to get the diversity that's specified in the code.
And it seemed to me, as I recall the slide, and I mean this. It says what we have to come up with. So we need to do some real recruiting, and that I mean, if we're going to follow that, then we need to figure out how to do some real recruiting. And it's not a way of saying we reject or have anything to do with the others, but that in fact we already have it set up through the municipal code that we want to have this representation. We need to find that.
Okay, so we will move design review board to group C, which is next up in terms of finding some new ways to recruit so that we get the applicant pool we're interested in.
Right, but I also would really encourage the message to those who have applied be pretty fulsome so they understand why they're not being considered.
Sure, and we were not responding to those folks until we had a chance to work with council.
That's
to see
great.
What your direction was.
Okay, thank you.
So then moving on to B, these are folks that have will be receiving applications until the 11th. And I think it would be great, given scheduling challenges, if we could identify the interview panels for Planning Commission and UAC. So again, if I follow what we have just discussed on the new approach, we would then be at Blair and Hytopoulos would be for Planning Commission. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to change that, add to it?
I'm good.
No, okay. And then there'll be some time sensitivity on that. So Kate will be working to try and do that as quickly as possible once we have our applications in. And then the UAC, let's see if I can follow the wheel here, would be Ward and Lester would be the next up on the rotation. And then are there changes or additional folks who want to participate in that?
I'd like to participate.
Okay. Would you like to horse trade?
So is that a trade or an addition?
If you don't mind taking my space.
I'll take your space.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll have Councilmember Ward and Councilmember Blossom. And anyone else?
I'll do it.
Okay. Okay, and so I think that gets us through the immediate sort of January issues, and we will, if you don't mind, I think maybe I will come back and schedule time in a few weeks to talk about the design review board and these other three groups so that we can get a little bit better return on the advertising and the approach and the recruitment efforts generally. Does that sound appropriate?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. That does it for tonight. Thank you.
Now, one other comment about the citizen boards, and that is being a new member of the council, I would sure love to see what the work plans are for each of the boards. You know, like a one page, this is what what its goals and objectives are, because you can get that off the city site. But in terms of if they have work plans for 2012, making sure that, one, we understand what they are, and two, is it really what we want them to do? So is that something that we could go and ask them for, you know, in a very cursory way, just so we get some sense of what they're doing?
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. You know, last year we were sort of, I don't know how many we actually did, but we were having some committees come forward at the beginning of a business meeting for 5 or 10 minutes and tell us about what they did so we could become familiar. This way we could become familiar a lot faster with what each of them are doing now.
What the plan is,
yeah.
You know, not necessarily even what they're doing, but because I know some of them put in reports at the end of the year, and they should be out in the January, February timeframe, but in terms of what their plans are for 2012, so that we can make sure that they're doing what we think they're doing.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, sounds good. Oh, did you want to comment on
yes.
the? Okay.
The lone member on the Forestry Commission. I'm Debbie Van on Frankland Avenue. I would just like to ask that if the council is going to be discussing the Forestry Commission, me. I'm actually the president of the Forestry Commission, since I'm the only one. At least be included in that. There was a discussion about the Forestry Commission last year in front of the council, and no one bothered to notify us of that. But we've had such difficulty trying to find people. I have no problem with us being down in that lower tier, because I'm not sure we could get anyone or how many people we could get anyway with advertising. I do know a couple of committees who are really struggling with the issue of where to meet, since they're not being allowed to meet here at City Hall. And so that might be something that you might want to talk to the various commissions about and see who's having a problem with that. I know at a board meeting I was at a while ago, they were just having real difficulty with having to find meeting space and having adequate meeting space outside of the city, of City Hall. And finally, and this is just purely a suggestion, I think it would be really helpful, and it's something we did when I was on the council, at least the first couple of years, was that everyone on the council had access to the applications themselves, so that all council members could review all of the applications. And that way, you know, when it comes time to discuss them, or if you've got any questions or concerns about why did you pick X over Y, that can be discussed. And so that's purely a suggestion. Certainly council members don't have to do that, but I think if the applications were made available to you and you're interested, you could at least go look them over. So that's just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Morgan?
I just appreciate the jog to my memory. I wanted to point out for council members that in response to, you know, always looking for ways to streamline and try and resolve some of these recruitment issues, Kate has developed an online form so that applicants can enter their information online, can attach their resume, and so when we'll be doing these next waves, we'll have the advantage of that, which hopefully will simplify things for folks and then also simplify council's ability to access that information. So
great. Yeah, it's a very good idea, and one that I'm glad you brought up, Debbie, because we talked about it before.
Yeah, in fact, I believe that for the civil service applicants, all the applicants were actually available online for review.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I think that's already in place to do that right now. So it's not just the council, but anyone that goes online can go and see the applicants.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So could I just clarify, City Hall is available during business hours when there's rooms available, but our issue is people need to meet after hours. Have we sent them to the senior center? I thought we'd made some attempts to find accommodations for them.
There's the library, there's the senior center, there's a number of other public accommodations that can be used.
Yeah, well, the library's cost. Yeah.
Marge Williams Center.
Okay, so as long as we're communicating options to them. I mean, are you hearing from the committees? I mean, do you know if Kate is hearing from the committees that they're
you know, I'm not aware of everything that Kate hears, fortunately, but I'm not, that has not elevated to something that she's mentioned to me. I know that earlier in the year when we made some different building policy decisions, there was a communication effort and there were some questions and we worked on clarifying, but recent months I have, that hasn't been something that's bubbled up to me.
Okay, that's what I was recalling. So when the policy change was made, there was an attempt to help people find spaces. Okay. All right. Looks like we're moving on to Fourth Amendment to Agreement for Special Counsel Legal Services, Item C, with Inslee Best. And the discussion leader is Morgan Smith.
So this is correctly titled just to, as a Fourth Amendment, but I want to clarify it's essentially the renewal of the annual agreement that we have with Inslee Best to do outside legal on an as-needed basis. As the agenda bill describes, they agreed to a rate rollback that's been in place for nearly 4 years. And their request for this year is because their personnel costs continue to escalate despite the economy, that they now return to their 2009 rates. There's an attached memo for your review that describes that pretty specifically. Their request is based on how the rates they're charging us compare to their other clients. And so they have a standard sort of fee schedule that they're referring to. It's not particular to us. And so the contract amendment that we've developed would propose the rates shown in the schedule there. And it's something that we'd like to have in place as early in the year as possible, which is why we're bringing it to you in January. We will, over the course of the next 2 months, be bringing you quite a few community service contracts, LTAC contracts, those sorts of things that all are part of our general start of the year contract management. This is one we wanted to move forward particularly quickly because it's in our best interest to have this in place and operational.
Okay, Council.
Yeah, is this rate increase included in the 2012 budget?
We do not budget for this contract as a line item. We have the a lump sum for our litigation costs.
Since it's an on-call situation, the city attorney manages the utilization of outside services, including Inslee Best and others, and is responsible for managing that within the budget. So it's not directly tied to the rate of an individual contractor.
No, but I understand, but that does basically say that the forecast is 10% less time. I mean, if you're given a 10%, you know, a 10% increase to the attorneys, I don't have any problem with that.
We have actually used Inslee Best less recently and some other firms more.
Okay.
Not in particular because of rates, mostly because of the issues that we are faced with in any given period of time. And we have reduced overall our legal budget by 25% since I came into office. So we are doing very good at managing our legal costs. I'm not concerned about a minor increase in hourly rates.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? No? Bob?
I move to approve the Fourth Amendment to Agreement for Special Counsel Legal Services and authorize the city manager to sign.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item up is item D, update on the WSF parking lot management change. Discussion leader is City Manager Bauer.
We had a universe of parking issues we were trying to address last year, and one of them ended up being issues with the parking lot at the Washington State Ferry. There are substantial capital needs there. We were responsible for the capital, and so the decision of the council was to take a close look at that. We had a lease agreement with Washington State Ferries where they kept 60% of the revenue, and we kept 40% in exchange for collecting the money and processing the fees, routine maintenance, restriping, numbering, snow and ice removal, improvements such as to the attendant booths, the payment machines and the signage, maintenance of the landscaping, security patrol and lighting, maintenance of the perimeter fence, and essentially parking enforcement. So the ensuring that people paid. And if they didn't pay, it went to our municipal court. So that was quite a few city resources going to managing a lot we did not own. And the return on our investment was minor, if any. Our analysis showed that simply having a commercial operator in place of us and collecting the tax, the parking tax associated with that, would be we would be taking in the same amount of money, and we could devote our resources to core city services instead of managing a parking lot we didn't own. So we notified Washington State Ferry at your direction that we were no longer interested in managing the lot. They were finally able to find some time to put out a request for proposals, which they had a successful proposer, and squeaked in. January 1, they took over management of the lot. We're very pleased. I think that the ferries will be pleased. And so I just wanted to give you that update and answer any questions you might have.
Council? Does this affect at all enforcement of the disabled parking?
It does not. Disabled parking is a state law issue, and local jurisdictions, local law enforcement jurisdictions enforce that, whether it's at Safeway or at any location where there is disabled parking that is reserved, then that's a ticketing violation that we will continue to enforce. And as you know, you added a parking enforcement officer with that concern in mind, and I think that that new PEO has been very successful in helping keep those spaces available for people with disabilities.
So if council wanted to just make a request to WSF to consider reconfiguring that situation there, would that be, who would we direct it to, the management or to WSF?
It would be to WSF.
Okay.
And I'd be happy if you have a concern there to take that up.
I wonder if council would consider it all. I mean, we've obviously seen that what was possibly once, maybe before my time, an actual drop-off has become a taxi what do you call that, bus to the casino stop, and it allows us no actual options for picking up, especially elderly. We've heard from our constituents, especially elderly people, visitors, and so if there was a way for them to scoot to create another option somewhere, would we like to, as a council, maybe on behalf of our constituents, make that request for them to think about reconfiguring to allow us a drop-off? Okay. Maybe we could work with administration in drafting a simple request. Leave the options open to them, but express our concerns. That'd be great.
Quick question. The fees for parking didn't change?
The fees for parking are at the discretion of the ferry service and the new operator, and they will set whatever rate they want. Probably it's an operator that has an adjacent lot, so
okay.
the rates along there have been relatively consistent.
Okay. I would hate to have it transferred to somebody else. The rates go up and we get blamed.
Welcome to council. Debbie.
What occurs in terms of the parking enforcement officer? That used to be their job in terms of collecting the fees, marking tires, et cetera. Are they, what is their job now with relationship to the Washington State Ferries? I heard you say that there will be continued enforcement regarding the handicap parking, but what will we be shifting them somewhere else? What is the plan for that?
So the fee collection, for the most part, involved the finance staff rather than parking enforcement. They did assist at times. But we have more parking enforcement issues on the island than we have been able to address. And certainly if we're not making sure people are paying for a parking space at the ferry terminal, we've got plenty of other work for them to be doing and can now do some planning around that. We weren't sure if the ferries were going to be successful.
Okay, so are we ready to move on to the next issue, our next item? Oh,
there was
I'm sorry. Yeah.
When that extra parking enforcement person was added, I remember because I sent emails to the people on the city council at the time, I was told that it was a really important part of budgeting, balancing the budget, to bring that person in because of all the extra revenue they'd collect from people who parked too long or didn't pay. Has the revenue, have people been paying a lot more in fines?
The revenue has increased once we got the parking enforcement officer on board. We had labor issues that we had to address in the first half of the year, and she increased by more than 50% our revenues once she got started.
Thank you.
And there was also a lot of concern from the merchants that people were parking and not leaving parking spots, and that was affecting in particular the some of the core areas their ability to have customers come and visit their business. So there, it wasn't just a ferry parking lot or disabled parking issue. It was an issue in a lot of the commercial centers and around the island.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the next item. It looks like we are in our, we weren't taking a break, I assume, when we moved on to emerging issues. We're just plowing through tonight with our short schedule. So the next item up is 3A, the City Council Retreat. I suppose I probably should have brought forward, or do we have? Oh, great. Is this the one, is this the draft that Ann had drafted?
Yeah, I wanted to put it up on the overhead.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay. So to catch the public up, we are planning to meet, it looks like, on the 8th, this Sunday, for basically a full day. I don't have a copy, and I'll have to look up here, but where was it, roughly 10-ish to 3? And it's we have a proposed draft agenda that Councilperson Blair gave to me, and I sent out, and we haven't really had a full discussion yet, of course, and so it's a starting point for us to decide how we're going to allocate our time on Sunday. So I don't know if anybody came with comments. Stephen?
I believe that there's a lot of issues that the City Council needs to go and address in terms of what its goals and objectives are. And I look at the agenda, an hour and a half to work on the goals from a City Council perspective for the entire year, I think, is short. At one time, I think we had talked about having two retreats, a first and a second, and I would propose to defer the administrative goals from the administration to the second one and spend more time, particularly since it's a new council, going and deciding what's important to us in terms of the way that we want the city to operate, the way we want to operate, and what our interfaces are with each other and the citizens and the city. So
to clarify, would you be moving that part three, which was the integration portion, or
would you be eliminating part one and part three?
Okay.
And basically having the entire afternoon just focus on discussion associated with what the City Council views as its goals and objectives for 2012.
Now, what about this idea? The reason for having to hear from staff and then have us talk separately was so that we had some idea what the can't change things are, what things prior council committed to, and so forth, and then go from there. Does that concern you? Is there a way we could turn it around so that maybe we met first and had a brainstorming session that wasn't influenced by that, maybe heard from them, and then came back to us again and move the integration part forward, so that somehow we had a reality check in, because I don't think any of us know what's, you know, on the work plan that we don't have a lot of discretion over, for example. So it's helpful to have that information and having a conversation about what we want to come back and say, hey, we want you to work this into your schedule.
Well, I appreciate that there could be things that are hard to move. But I think that by going through that, then it will have a tendency to constrain us in terms of what our thoughts are. And I think they're having a second retreat where you now come face to face with reality, so to speak, is a good opportunity then to go and push back in both ways in terms of. Because that'll also then give the staff an opportunity to look at what the City Council's views are and come up with, their understanding of that, and they can then do a better job of integrating at a second review.
Okay.
My view.
Sure. Anyone else?
I agree with Steve on that. I think focusing on our goals and then as he says, doing a reality check at the second retreat would be a good way to approach it.
What would you guys think about at least having a draft there? We don't have to have a presentation that we could, because for one thing, I'd want to know what I want to do is already there, or maybe even want to talk about what I don't like that's on there. So what do you think about asking to have at least the draft? Assume the administration would at that point have a rough draft of sorts for the year?
Well, we have a working draft. I understand the concept that you're putting forward. I also understand the reality check part of it, which is that there are a lot of things, you know, the accountability agreement that we built together last year was, it ended up being two things. It started out being what we asked to be graded on. You know, these are the things you've said are important, and now we are to go implement them and do them. And so there was that aspect of it. The other thing it ended up being was a really nice way for us to continually, on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, to make sure we were pointed towards the right things, both internally and even in our conversations with council, to say, yes, that's a great project, a great idea. We don't have the capacity to do both. We'd have to make some choices. So we have a draft of it, and it's easy to share, but I think I also want to emphasize that we would very much like to be part of the conversation, because I think there's a lot of shared interest in making sure that we're all on the same page with what's important. So,
Bob?
Obviously, the morning is primarily housekeeping things that we need to decide as a council and get organized as a council in order to proceed this year. And then the afternoon, right now it's only scheduled for a half hour for the city manager to present the goals and the work plan. And I think it would be, because it's only half an hour, I think it would be beneficial not only to have the document in front of us, but to have a short presentation and be able to ask questions, because I'm sure that particularly the new council members will probably have questions about the document, and it would be good for all of us to hear the answers to those questions. But what I would suggest is that we defer part three and extend the annual goals for the council to 3 hours, and actually it would be 3 hours, never mind. Well, maybe it would be longer because you've got that, but I think we'd probably need, you know, give us 3 hours to do that. But I think it would be beneficial for us to get not only the written document, but a short presentation in order to, and that would really, I think, inform our discussion for the next 2 or 3 hours.
Would that work for you, Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay.
Debbie?
Would it be possible to send that out as soon as possible, just so we can look over it and become prepared, ready to ask questions?
I'm still working on it.
Okay, today is Wednesday.
I'll be finishing it on Thursday, so when I'm done with it on Thursday, I'll certainly send it forward.
It would be appreciated if we had it before, so we can...
I'll definitely have it before Sunday.
Okay. You know, we had a very busy end of year, and we were initially planning that, or expecting that your retreat would be in mid-January. So having everyone go on vacation and then just return this Tuesday, we're doing our best to turn that around.
Thank you.
I'd also like to be able, as you know, this is part of what I see my role here, I'd like to be able to participate in the conversation, so I'm also looking for some confirmation that you are meeting on Sunday and that this would be part of your agenda. So we're still kind of trying to catch up. So.
Okay. Anne?
Thank you. I would also, I think this all makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate it thoroughly. So it would seem to me the one piece is that we have got to figure out a time and commit to having time when we work together as staff and the administration and the council, that we not let that slide, but that it happened during the month of January, and that integration, because that's really going to be the key to being able to move us forward. I think the clarity and the latitude to understand ourselves as a council is really important, so I appreciate that expansion of time, so thank you.
Okay, Morgan?
I'm sorry, and I know this is a little bit nitpicky, but just to clarify for new council members that weren't part of the process of developing this year's version, I would wordsmith our section a little bit differently. It's not that I think of that document as our goals as much as our understanding of proposed areas of focus. I mean, it's not that we develop something and you develop other priorities and we compete over who takes precedent. It's that it's our
understanding of how, what resources will be needed to implement what's either mandatory in terms of the city's operation or what's a policy priority or a project that you've identified. So
let's do wordsmith it, because it's not wordsmithing. It, for me, it's content. And I'd like to know what is an accurate word. I mean, this
I think
genuinely is draft.
Is
it work plan?
It's proposed.
It's the city's work plan, and it's the work plan that the council essentially has by deciding what lines of business we're in, by deciding what projects and things that they said were important and directed and funded us to start undertaking. As you know, our work doesn't stop on December 31st and start again completely fresh and new on January 1st. We have a lot of ongoing activities that your predecessor councils have put in motion. You certainly can move to change those things, but what we would bring to you are the things that we know that we're required to do by law, the things that are part of whatever plans or projects that you have funded and put into motion up till now. It doesn't really have anything to do with choices made by city employees about what's important for the city.
So it sounds like it would be better and more accurate, not even better, but more accurate to say COBI or the COBI 2010 focus, and then the work plan, and just get rid of administration and staff, except that you all have done this drafting. Is that correct? I mean, am I missing a point of what you're describing? Because it's something that you are, in fact, you have drafted a work plan to respond to the already approved.
Yes, the city's goals that we believe that you have identified for us.
Some of them originate with council priorities. So, for example, in the 2011 version, there were things like the open water marina. There were things like supporting the tree ordinance, the S&P update, that originate with council saying these are top shelf issues for us. And then staff quickly organizes the other work around needing to support those. So what we have as our draft document is, in the absence of hearing your changes or confirmation of those, is what we expect to be your areas of focus and the rest of our ongoing work and our mandatory obligations that we're aware of.
What's a good way to state it so that it captures that? And I mean, it obviously it doesn't work to call
draft
them
city
goals.
You don't need to specify who Great. Necessarily is responsible for them, because it's the draft city goals, and subject to the direction of the council.
And a work plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that work plan is in the design and pretty much finished, or at least at the draft stage, or you're working on that, and that's tomorrow's
plan? I'm not working on it at this minute.
No.
But it's about 85% done.
Great.
And I will be finishing the draft version, which is not going to be in the format of the accountability agreement until you all have confirmed it. So it's going to look more like bullet points organized up by departments.
Great.
And it will capture carry forward activities that were not completed in 2011, things that we know of for 2012 that are mandatory, that we consider mandatory or we expect to complete. And then it also captures some aspects of things, topics that council has mentioned previously they were interested in picking up in 2012 that I've just been preserving because I'm sort of a list person. So,
given that it is really still being worked on, is a half an hour realistic in terms of being able to present it so that
I think for what
I, mean,
I
not for full discussion,
what I hear
obviously.
Councilmember Bonkowski and others saying is that what you'd like is our introduction to why things are on there and some context, which we can do pretty quickly. Okay. Then you'd like to have a very in-depth discussion among yourselves, and then we'll be invited back for an integration of those concepts at some other point. Okay. I think that's appropriate.
Okay. Good. Bob?
So just to sort of clarify what Ann was getting at, I think. I mean, some things obviously are in the work plan because they're in the budget. So Rockaway Beach road repair is in the budget. We budgeted money for that, and the staff will come up with a plan for implementing that. Some things aren't specifically in the budget. For example, last year we initiated a comprehensive roads assessment to you know, determine the health and of all of our road network, and that's in process, and so it's not a specific line item in the budget, but it's something that's on the work program that they will be spending staff resources doing. And so really so essentially the work program is set for this year, but of course the council can change that. And there are some things that would be easier to change and some things more difficult to change. But I think that that's why I think having the briefer introduction and getting the work plan and then having a more in-depth discussion with the new council about, you know, what are our priorities, because we can change things. And so having that in-depth discussion, and then I'd like to talk about the second retreat and see if we can schedule a time to do that, because we could spend easily the whole day with, okay, what is it now that we could obviously just accept the work program, but my guess is that there will, some council members of the full council will want to change some things, so that could easily take a full day. So can we schedule the second one while we're all here?
Could we come with our schedules to the retreat? Do that at the retreat? I didn't come with my calendar this evening. I apologize. But if we could schedule, everyone come with your potential dates this Sunday.
Okay. And we need to remember, we actually have another substantial issue that we need to deal with that I envisioned spending most of the next, or some portion of the next retreat on, which was performance measures for the city manager and setting up that system. We don't have one in place. And so at least starting that conversation, if not getting ready to launch it right away. So that has to be on the second retreat as well. So it sounds like we are good with this. Oh, Dave?
Let me make a suggestion here. There's some concerns about the time in the afternoon, and I agree with that. Why don't we just have the city manager spend 30 minutes briefing us during lunch? We'll make it a working lunch, mm-hmm. and that gains us the time we seek in the afternoon to discuss our goals and work plan.
Does that work?
I can talk with my mouth full.
Yeah. So we actually...
I didn't say you could eat lunch.
We actually should talk about logistics real quickly. So we're going to be at Bloedel. I'm quite sure that that's set.
Which
facility? Their meeting space. So
what is that? They have three.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well,
one?
It's where they have board meetings. Unfortunately, I think Kate knows more about this than anybody else.
Yeah, you go to the right when you go into the parking lot, go to the end of the parking lot, and it's at beyond the end of the parking lot.
So it's Friends Bloedel Home, the Education Center, they call it now, I think.
I'm not sure what they call it.
So if anybody would like to go this week, how many days do we have left? In the next couple days and take a look at it and wants to... you know, see about organizing the space, they're open to that for sure.
We've already directed that they set up tables in sort of the standard configuration you've used in the past, and one of the challenges is meals and
that's
making
what I was
decisions
get to
about
to next.
That.
Yeah, how do we feel about brown bagging it? Can we do that? Because we're obviously not going to be near anything, and it's complex having to ask someone to come bring something. So are we good with a...
Sure.
I'm good? Or if we want a potluck?
No.
Brown bag.
Okay.
I mean, this is just astonishing to be doing, and you all, thank you very much for attending to this conversation. Do people drink coffee, and would you like a coffee pot? I mean, they really do not have those things there.
Yes.
So somebody needs to tend to,
well, we
to
we
sort
we,
of that caring
and
for
I,
the
and
organization
Kate,
of
and
it.
Kate certainly offered to help with even bringing lunches, so maybe we can get her help with just the coffee setup. Would that be something we could do?
We could certainly take
and
care of
coffee. And council might have a little bit of budget for coffee.
I think we need to.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a good point, though.
Fine.
Would definitely like to do that. So are we good? Are we close, Debbie?
Could we go up to the second item, roles and responsibilities, mm-hmm. The facilitator? Did we come up with having that facilitated, or will we?
Are you asking me?
I don't know. This was really and truly a job.
I know.
And so this is our conversation to talk about it. Roles and responsibilities, I'm not at all satisfied. This really, I cannot tell you how thoroughly this is a draft. Mm-hmm. That phrasing may not be as helpful to people. I think it really is sort of my attempt to think of that. Those are words that are often used in training and development. This was really a chance to talk about how the council works together and perhaps some of the issues that Steve was imagining would also be very much a part of the afternoon, but in terms of a much more task-oriented one, this being the process time, or potentially that. And I know Councilmember Lester had mentioned also that she had a couple of ideas. I think that kind of conversation often is more productive if all seven people on the council
and our administrative team can be a part of it and not be trying to facilitate it, but in fact have someone else to help do that. My understanding is, so saying that, I'm an advocate for someone that is skilled in doing that, that will help us work through those conversations and be sure we bring up and clarify in case we get bollocked up or are not as clear as we want to be. I think that's very helpful. I'm also aware that it does not appear there's anything in the budget that has anything to do with the care and feeding of a council or facilitating or any of that sort of thing. So
we have surprise money. Currently, you know, we donated $600 of my salary for the downtown holiday celebration, and apparently the city actually found $600 more. And so I have that available. I was going to be rolling it forward to the next mayor, so it's available. If, you know, we probably can't pull that from this time, but just so you know, there's actually more money than we thought. So if you had somebody in mind, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Just a basic question. I don't understand actually what that hour does. I mean, I've read the governance manual. I understand the governance manual, and it's pretty clear on the way everybody operates and how those relationships are. So I'm a little bit, I'd like to get a better understanding of what the expectation is in terms of the result of spending an hour.
I don't know if Ann has anything to say about that. I have an idea, but I guess what I was going to say is that I actually think, given the time constraint we have, and we didn't get to discuss the agenda earlier and actually get a facilitator and plan out what we would talk about, the sort of conversation I would imagine there might be something that we might want to do in a couple months and bring in a good facilitator. Mm-hmm. We'll see how we're working together, see if we have issues, and get on top of those and discuss them at that point, rather than who knows what particular issues will arise for this council on roles and responsibilities or governance manual. At that time, we could review, are there things in the governance manual not working for us? So we could probably do something similar here in this space without a facilitator, but maybe a broader conversation later with a facilitator. And what do you think?
I think that makes perfect sense. And I would certainly, you've had the experience of serving on the board. I've read the manual, and I have a lot of questions about how they work. I mean, it may be very, it clearly okay. is clear to you. It's not so clear to me. I am also very willing and know that my learning curve is one I'm climbing, and I can climb it and come to meetings simultaneously. So we don't need, and obviously there's time, and I suspect as we go through what we would like to accomplish, it will be a time to meet one another and get to know one another and how we work and what works effectively as a means of communicating among ourselves and with our staff, which was what I tended to think of as the time that this would be an opportunity for seven people as a new team with three, so a team of 10, to learn how we would want to work together. And that can be pretty fuzzy.
So it sounds like,
you, what you're saying.
Do you agree? Let's leave that there as a sort of a fuzzy, bring your questions, get to know each other, what are expectations, mm-hmm. time, and then do the other later? Or
I think that leaving it fuzzy makes it fuzzy and it's not time well used. I mean, it seems to me it needs to have some structure and focus to it, or we just have a long coffee hour.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me suggest that we make it a council discussion on the governance manual.
Okay.
And people can bring up points that they don't discuss it with the rest of the council and see if we can reach an understanding on it, maybe even identify some areas in the governance manual that need to be refined. It just was zero in on that one document, I think, could be helpful for an hour.
And then would you, I think that makes a lot of sense, and I like that. Would it make sense to ask if Brenda and Kirsten could do that together? I mean, somebody's got to say, okay, what's the first question? What's the second one? And maybe that is a part.
Or everybody can reread the government's manual between now and Sunday and bring their questions.
Sure.
Or concerns.
So this will be sort of like an initial discussion of the governance manual with this council, we can check back in later and see how it's working for us. But this will just be sort of the initial mm-hmm. questions. And so we just want to call it governance. Do we keep it roles and responsibilities, governance manual? I mean, it doesn't really matter to us probably what it's called.
But I think it's helpful to the mm-hmm. public who may wish to attend also. Mm-hmm. And we need to be sure that they're good driving directions and that sort of thing, so that people know if they're wanting to be able to attend and mm-hmm. fishbowl the conversation, how to do that. So, I mean, it seems to me if it's a focus on the governance manual, that's what it's a focus on.
Okay. Sounds good. So are the times, other than, I think, blending part two and part three, are the times working for people? Is there something we can move forward with for publication?
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds as though part one of the discussion right. about the goals and so forth will happen primarily from starting at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. And that'll
so
give us
the whole afternoon then.
Yeah.
Which I think is
makes sense.
Okay.
Council members, I asked Christine Brown to pass around the list of liaisons for the county and regional, and I've also provided website links, and I'm going to have it sent out digitally as well, so you can click on and get a sense of what the different county commissions and boards are. So please take, before you come to the meeting, please take the time to go through those different committees, and certainly we would love you to step forward for different regional bodies, be it the health district, the housing Kitsap, any of those. There are a number of them that it would be great if you would take time to decide what you would like to serve on.
So we do need to formally advertise this as a special meeting and set the final agenda. If you're comfortable, what we'll do is I'll work with Kirsten on the final wording consistent with your discussion tonight, and we'll get that published pretty quickly, probably tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. And the next item up is plastic bag ordinance, which is my topic. This is an initial touch. I've had passed out to you, I think, a copy of the ordinance that was just passed in Seattle just for your information, mm-hmm. Just as some background. We have a guest in the audience from Environment Washington, Katrina Rosen.
No.
And she, I believe, hopefully has been able to bring some materials for you that I've had for a while that are helpful that you can take away and think about. I'm proposing that we do what many other cities and countries have done, increasingly are doing, and amazingly, many third world countries, it seems to be just finally starting to roll into the developed world, and that is to ban single-use plastic bags. Specifically, we're talking about the bags that you have at grocery stores, convenience stores, and I suppose on our island you have the drugstore. Katrina, I'm sure, has probably, if you would be interested in hearing from her for a few moments, would probably mm-hmm. be brilliant at quickly explaining what Environment Washington's perspective is.
Thank you.
We can discuss it.
Hi, I'm Katrina Rosen. I'm the field director for Environment Washington. And we're a statewide citizen-based environmental advocacy group, so we have a lot of members all across the state, including here on Bay Ridge Island. So, you know, first of all, I just want to say thank you to the council for considering an ordinance like this. Banning plastic bags is something that we've been doing a lot of work on all across the state of Washington. And the reason that we're working on this is because plastic bags pose a serious threat to Puget Sound and to the wildlife in it. And so we saw the worst effects of this last year when there was a beached gray whale found in West Seattle with 20 plastic bags in its stomach. And then we've seen other events like this. So we released this report about a couple months ago about how much plastic there is in Puget Sound. And in fact, University of Washington Tacoma's Urban Water Center has been taking water samples and has found a ton of plastic in every single water sample that they've taken. So we know that there's a lot, that it's just a growing threat to Puget Sound. And we're particularly concerned with the impact that it has on wildlife. So I'd be happy to pass this around if you guys want to take a look.
Yes, thank you.
There's actually one for everyone.
Thank you.
And do you have similar materials, or do you have a copy of that on your website?
Yes.
Oh, great. Could you give that to us for our public?
Sure. It's environmentwashington.org.
Okay, great. And so I thought it was helpful also for Katrina to be here. If you have, I don't know if anybody has right off the bat any questions about what we're talking about or background, what's happening in other cities, but this is an opportunity to ask her questions.
Yeah, and we've been doing a lot of work in Seattle, so we were a big part of working with the council on the particular ordinance that passed in Seattle. We've also gotten a lot of public support, so we've been gathering public comments all across the state, and people are, you know, pretty concerned about plastic bags. One of the big problems with them is that they never go away, so they're really tough to recycle. Less than 6% of them are recycled, and so once they get out into the water, they just break down into these small particles that can stay there for thousands of years. So,
yes.
Did the plastic bags found in the stomach of the whale contribute to its death, or were they just there?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's come up a lot. So, you know, we're still trying to figure out what plastic actually does to marine wildlife and to us. But, you know, frankly, the way that we see it, the plastic bags just don't belong in the stomach of the whale or in anyone's stomach, for that matter, and so that's why we're concerned with it.
I think that's, you know, for me, we can talk about what the exact threat is to Puget Sound, and I think they're clearly, you know, there are reasons far beyond the Puget Sound to do this. We have particular reasons here and a particular obligation, I think many citizens on the island feel, because we are a coastal, in fact, we're an island, we're a coastal city. And as Katrina says, the bags don't belong in the whale's stomach, regardless of whether they're going to kill the whale at that moment or whether they were causing any toxicity to the whale or whether we just find it offensive that our garbage, and it was a lot of other garbage besides the bags as well, that were in the whale's belly. For me, what it is, you know, and you're kind of, I think you think this way, you don't, but to me, and I hope our world is moving this way, our goal is to eliminate plastic as much as we can, to find alternatives. There are some things we don't have alternatives for at this point, but we clearly have alternatives for bags. And we're talking about an item that is used to transport things from the grocery store or the drugstore, sometimes 5 or 10 minutes to our house. And then it often goes in the trash. It may be used to clean, it may be used to pick up some dog dew, and there are alternatives. We can talk about that argument. But 9 times out of 10, it's going in the trash. We're talking about transporting things that are largely packaged already. We're putting in this bag, and we're taking it home, or throwing in the trash. There are the ordinance that was passed in Seattle, and the ordinance that I would propose that we would consider would still allow paper bags, and would require a cost recovery of 5 cents a bag. It was what happened in Seattle. I think that makes sense, and that is supported by Town and Country. So far, I've talked to Larry Nakata, certainly willing to or interested in going forward talking to the other merchants on the island that would be affected, but. The fact is, we have alternatives. We have reusable bags, and it's happening all over the world. Luckily, it's happening more and more in Europe. It's happened in 3 cities in our state, I believe.
There's 4. Mukilteo is 4. Recent as well.
California, been in San Francisco for since like 2007 or
yeah.
Earlier than that.
Yeah, San Francisco is the first.
China has outlawed them. For me, that was sort of a quite compelling. Bainbridge Island doesn't want to meet that standard. So to me, it's a step that we can take, and I think that's why there's a lot of support in the community and a lot of support around the world for this, because we can bring our own bags. We don't need plastic for this. And the reality is, we probably use on this island somewhere in the vicinity of 5 to 7 or more million bags a year, just citizens on this island, of this type of bag. So when you consider that, we could have an incredible impact. I don't know if we want to hear from the community.
Oh, certainly.
Does anyone like to speak to this issue? Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll try something.
Great. Thanks.
So there are many environmental and health costs associated with the production and the recycling and disposal of both paper and plastic bags and any product you can name. But I want to address this from a different perspective. Personally, it's our culture shift toward a single-use mentality. And simply put, single-use bags are wasteful. And I strongly support encouraging the use of reusable bags, because they're in all different shapes and sizes. They're just an easy alternative to bringing, taking home paper and plastic bags. A few years back, there was a push in on Bainbridge to get more people bringing their own bags for store purchases. And as a result of that, TNC discovered that the percentage of customers who obliged rose to 20%. However, that rate has held steady since then. So what else can we do to bump it up? And that's where I think education and outreach are important, as well as some kind of ordinance. Charging for paper bags would make people think twice. Do I really need to use this bag, or can I, you know, bring my own? And restricting plastic bag use, it wouldn't be a total ban. There are still occasions when plastic bag use is appropriate, such as taking hot liquids home, or leaky milk or leaky meat trays. But restricting use of plastic bags would be another way to help people to make a switch, an easy switch to reusable bags. Thank you.
Thank you. Did anyone else want to speak? I should also mention, go ahead.
My name is Dawn Snyder. I just want to add to what Diane said in the fact that, you know, we talk about the wildlife and how it affects Puget Sound, but we also need to be conscious of the fact that the petroleum-based product of plastic bags is something that we should be trying to reduce or eliminate as much as possible as well. There's the cause and effect of, you know, petroleum-based dependency, and I know we've all talked about that for years now, about trying to get off that situation. And also there's some rebuttals from people about reusable bags, that there's bacteria and some problems with that, and that has been basically acknowledged by Consumer Reports as not being true. And many reusable bags can be washed and reused and reused. I've been using the same bags for a couple of years. So I want that to be something that the council considers as well in their further discussions about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Carol Appenseller, and I just want to reinforce what you were saying, Kristen, about our taking responsibility and joining the rest of the world in this. Taking responsibility for our plastic use is progress. It's the way the world needs to go, and it's the way it is going. So why don't we do this now when we know it's the right thing to do, rather than after everyone else has done it and just drags us along? Why balk and end up on the wrong side of history, or the slow side of history? People of Bainbridge tend to be very forward-thinking, and so why not be among the leaders?
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, my name's Barb Zimmer. I also support the ban of plastic bags on Bainbridge. I think it's a logical decision, and it's an ethical decision, and there are easy alternatives that we can do. We don't need to go the route of using plastic bags or continuing to use them as we have been. We can make the change. It's not a big problem. I think we could also do other things. I know in Seattle, for instance, that restaurants are allowed to send carry out in plastic bags, but there are plenty of compostable plastic type bags that can be used. So I think we could go a step further in terms of some use of plastic similar to plastic products, but instead of allowing plastics to be used in certain circumstances, I think there are other alternatives for mm-hmm. business, other types of businesses. So thank you, and I'm glad to hear that this is being considered on Bainbridge.
Thank you. Anyone else? I wanted to point out, and you may have missed it, I don't remember how late it came in, but the Downtown Business Association endorsed the ordinance, the concept of the ordinance. This actually wouldn't affect most of the businesses on the main street because it does not affect the thicker plastic. I'd love it too, but it doesn't. This is step one in the world of eliminating plastics from our lives, and this is just a glaring example of something that just really doesn't make sense because it's such a brief use and can have such lasting effects, lasting in the ocean or the ground for indefinitely.
So I don't know if anybody has any questions or... What I would like to ask council is to consider allowing this to go forward to a study session for a more substantial consideration. We could start with, it certainly takes more public comment, bring your questions, read the materials, see what questions you have. Mm-hmm. We could start with the Seattle ordinance as a potential model if we were to go forward. I would think it would be great to ride on their extensive legal analysis. It had a unanimous approval over there, and it went through a lot more legal analysis than it will get here in our city. So I'd love to start with that as a discussion point, if the council's good with that.
Good support.
Okay, great. We'll move it on to another study session. Thank you all for coming to show your support. And thank you, Katrina.
I would like to thank Diane and Dawn. You're also part of a group called Zero Waste, and for many of our community events, they focus on helping us choose the right products for our events, compostable silverware, boxes, and packaging. And I appreciate your leadership and your educating us. So thank you very much.
Okay, are we to next meeting agenda?
We are. It feels like a different time zone, doesn't it?
Are we almost on time? No, we're a little off, huh?
Pretty good.
A good New Year's resolution. To keep to the agenda time.
Okay.
If we want to start with the draft for next week, January the 11th, you should have a preliminary version of that in front of you.
Looks like this. Yeah, where is
it? You'll notice we've scheduled the right-of-way vacation for the Point Monroe Drive item. And the public hearing for that, I'm sorry. And then we have a few regular items on the consent agenda. Between it being a business meeting and following the holidays, we did not bring forward any other substantive topics. We thought there might be some things that followed out of your conversations tonight or over the weekend, but if not, the other thing that this does nicely is dovetails with a need we wanted to bring forward for an executive session next Wednesday. And potentially fairly lengthy. I'll let Brenda jump in if she wants to, but there's a litigation topic we were hoping to have you for a half hour's consideration, and then we wanted to talk about labor issues, given we spent a significant amount of time on this last summer, but it's probably worthwhile to begin to reignite those conversations with all of you. So.
We have both a time-sensitive litigation issue, and we have a potential litigation issue, and we also feel that with a substantial change in the folks on the council that although we have an offer from the IAM on a contract, it would be important to step through the information we stepped through with the prior council before we move forward with any positions in response to that offer.
So that request dovetails nicely with a fairly thin business meeting. So that's, I guess, my question is whether you're amenable to that.
The other thing that I would like and would appreciate with regard to current litigation or that kind of an update, I would like to have a briefing on the overall picture of litigation, which needs to happen within an executive session. So I feel as though that's a very important thing to do for us in terms of risk management, and we need to have the time to do that. And you will have to advise if we can take a substantial amount of time, maybe as much as an hour. I have no read on how long that might take, but I do think that needs to happen. I would like it sooner than later.
Well, we've been extraordinarily successful in the last 18 months, and I would say that there's less time needed to brief you on that than there was 18 months ago, substantially less. But that's something we could walk through fairly quickly with the city attorney. Given how light the meeting is, you could certainly take 2 hours for executive session and really have get updated on labor issues, get updated on litigation, and cover some of the short-term things that you need a decision about.
I would support that.
Would that have us Would that have us starting at what?
At 7:30, I think.
We would do it after. I'm sorry.
Well, that's my suggestion, because I know you all prefer to not do it before.
Yes, that would be great, yeah.
Go ahead. So then we'll add to the agenda executive session at 7:30 for 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And then we continue to begin to build our long-range calendar.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I have a request from Jerry Elfindahl. Each year we annually celebrate Martin Luther King, and we come forward with a resolution. I put forward some dates, and he would actually like to see the resolution on January 11th being a business meeting, because if we had it later, it would not provide them enough time to promote the event that's going to be in conjunction on January 28th, the Sing Out. So he sent a copy of last year's resolution, and it's been updated, and I could send it to you tomorrow. And if we could have that on the January 11th, that would be great. Is that okay, council members?
So you would send to Roz?
Excuse me?
To Roz.
Yes, excuse me. Mm-hmm.
Sarah?
I don't know how you've handled this in the past, scheduling the ward meetings, and I don't know if that's an agenda item. I thought it would be helpful to schedule one early on, since we'll be discussing our goals and priorities at the retreat, to have a ward meeting to take those to the community and see.
Why don't we, at the retreat, set all four when we have our calendars, and that way we'll be good and we'll actually have four. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Sounds like a good idea. Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah.
So then, if you'll take a look at the long-range calendar, as a reminder, what I usually try to have us do at each meeting is confirm the next week's agenda pretty precisely, because it's about to go to publication, but then also look ahead 2 weeks so that we can be doing the work that we need to do on the right topics. So that would take us to January 18th is where I'd like us to spend most of our attention. I have been working with PSC, and we'd like to have them come and speak to you as early in the year as possible about the work that they are doing on Bainbridge Island this year. They have updates to share on how the phase one of the Merton Cove project, which is the one up on Sportsman and New Brooklyn, has gone. And we have some planning and coordination we want to make sure goes well for phase two, which will occur over the summer, given that it's a spot that's right in the middle of about six different schools and a lot of other things. So we're working hard with them to make sure that phase two goes well. And then they have other work. You may have seen the flags indicating the work they have upcoming on Buckland Hill. And so we want to make sure everyone understands this and has a chance to ask questions. So that will involve having PSC folks come. So I want to make sure council is comfortable with having January 18th as the date for that briefing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Public Works would like to talk about the water comp plan and the opportunity to get some cost savings if we do a combined approach to the water and sewer comp plan this year. They also have an interlocal agreement for stormwater public education they'd like to talk to you about. And then I apologize, I probably got out of sync and heard you request the first touch for plastic bag ordinance and place that on the 18th. I don't know if that's too soon, Kirsten, for you to do the second go-around.
Yeah, I think it would, because that's on there because they originally last year threw it on that far, and the reason mm-hmm. we rushed a little forward was because the press moved forward with it, so it was becoming part of the popular
conversation. So I don't know if that's the study session you'd like to aim for or not.
I think actually it'd be better for us to roll one more, probably over, let me see.
To move that one ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
To the first, maybe?
Is that the next one? Yeah.
Yeah, February 1st.
I think that's a good idea, so we could have a substantive conversation.
Mayor,
excuse me. The one thing that I think that we could consider on the 18th would be the process proposal for the ferry funds. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
And particularly if the plastic bag one is going forward mm-hmm. to a different study session. But that would, because I think the 11th probably... We might be able to get it done, but it seems to me it's more thoughtful if we do it at the study session on the 11th, or on the 18th.
Okay, I will add that. And then, as always,
we have something for the 18th.
The citizens group that's been working on the Unocal property, they would like to come forward and provide an update and get some feedback from the council. They requested 15 minutes. They're going to report back from their meeting with the Department of Ecology. They will be also meeting with Kitsap Transit, and then they would like to discuss a public input process for the Unocal property. So that would be January 18th for 15 minutes. And is that okay,
yeah.
Council? The other item was the non-motorized transportation. They wanted to bring forward their work plan for the year and get confirmation. Some of the things that they mentioned, they were looking at getting direction for negotiation of easements, Sportsman Club Trail with the PSC work. They were looking at that as opportunities to continue the separated path on the Sportsman Club. They had some crosswalk recommendations in that area, and they're also looking to create a complete streets ordinance. There's some grant opportunities related to that. And they were asking 30, but certainly, Council, you can direct in terms of what you think is reasonable for them.
Is that how much time they wanted to present, or they wanted the item to be?
They wanted to present 20 and then have 10 minutes for feedback conversation from the Council.
Council?
Is that okay? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So 30 minutes for that?
Yes, please. And one other thing, just in terms of reading the paper and talking with Councilmember Blair, you had mentioned a concept of looking at opportunities for donor-supported bench and tree memorial program. Mm-hmm. Is that anything? Did you want that?
I mean, I guess one of the things, yes, I would like very much to have that raised. I think what concerns me is putting it on January 18th when suddenly we begin doing from the very beginning what I'm looking at a meeting that is more full than is reasonable for any of the conversation, thoughtful thinking, and so forth, and looking at a meeting on January 25th, which appears to have a contract amendment consideration and nothing else.
But it's a business meeting.
I understand that, but if we're making decisions and so forth, the study sessions, there's a blending that, I mean, that may be something we need to talk about as a council in figuring out how to make it happen, but it doesn't serve us well to have one meeting with one decision and another with eight, including presentations and community comments. So
just so all the new council members are aware, there is no legal difference between your study sessions and your business meetings. They are all council meetings that are by ordinance set, and it's completely up to you to differentiate how you want to conduct those meetings, and you have chosen to do alternate study and business meetings, but you could make other choices, and you have in this past year inserted study items into business meetings and business meetings into study sessions as it worked for you.
I just want to say I think we've tried very hard, however, to make those make sense within the context so that we can have the distinction between a formal meeting and the getting into it, you know, the issues and interacting with the community more than the business meeting. So, for example, in this case, it might be appropriate to bring forward non-motorized transportation on the 25th because that's along a similar style where we're taking in that just sort of presentation. We could then put it on a study session later to discuss what do we want to do with this. For example,
the complete
street.
It seems to me that we should really try to balance this as thoroughly as we can for reasonable.
And of course, our business meetings will get a lot meatier. So, but right now is a time when it might even be appropriate if it got too bulky to move something that was a real study session issue. But I certainly think this would be appropriate. We think that would be all right with them to move it to 25th.
Absolutely.
So the other thing I want to point out, too, just for format and using this tool, is that I don't bother to say if there are things up for consideration, and I don't think this is the case on the 18th, but as an example, there are things that are up for consideration on the 18th, and then they move forward. Because I don't presume that you're going to move stuff forward, that doesn't show up on the business meetings. So that's another way in which the business meetings will get more populated, because things will move. But for now, I will move the non-motorized presentation for 30 minutes to the 25th. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then did you want to, what was the item that you were asking to add? It was the honorary.
Donor-supported memorial. Bench and tree installation program, something that Councilmember Blair had brought forward in discussion.
So what is the preference with that?
And I'm just trying to think about whether that.
Well, she might want some more time to research.
I mean, I think it's fine to bring it as an idea, as conceptually, as a first touch. Why don't we do it that way? And it sounds to me, at least from watching, that 5 minutes for an explanation, and then it doesn't have, you don't have to have the second touch an hour and a half later, 2 weeks later. I mean, you really can, that can take as long as it takes to develop. Is that correct?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I would advocate for you still leaving on the 18th, because until we decide to change the format, the appropriate format would be for that to be on the study session, even if it's just 5 minutes.
No, I agree with that,
good.
But I'm just saying, I'm worrying about the second touch and whether it has to then be the immediate meeting after that.
No, it could be in 2 months.
No, again, and in fact, our baseline is going to be that something that moves forward to not the next week's business meeting, but the business meeting after that.
Thank you.
So even if you wanted to do it in the regular cycle, it wouldn't be the 7-day turnaround. So could you help me, I'm sorry, with the phrasing of what that topic is?
I'm dealing on that myself,
okay.
To figure out what to...
Memorial installation program?
Well, I think we want it to be... It's something, it has more to do... It's not memorial because it doesn't. People don't have to be dead. It is about... an honoring, and I'm just, I lost the word, and I'll think of it. Can I do that in a moment?
Commemorative?
A commemorative, thank you. That's
that
helpful.
Was Mr. Ward.
Commemorative what? Commemorative structure, is it at City Hall? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the
The idea, really, the topic is really how can we perhaps on city property, not just City Hall, but city property, if there are commemorative trees or benches, that kind of thing, when community people would like to recognize community members and honor them in some way with a public planting or a bench. What's the process they need to go through, and is there a cost, and is that something that as a council we're interested in supporting, or is there another way to do it?
Got it, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But I think commemorative is a good, or... Yes. I don't mean to
this is a different different subject, and I'm not sure where it is to be placed. Typically, we've had the update for Winslow Way reconstruction during our business meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I am just curious where we're at, and if we could have some sort of update to let us know when we've got a punch list in the works. And I heard Mr. Wisbecki state that he also wanted to get feedback from the people that have been using the streets, the business owners, et cetera. And when could that, we should think about having that be fairly soon.
One of the considerations is we have very little activity going on right now with the contractor. The contractor is somewhat demobilized because of the weather.
Okay.
And so activity picks up again when we have the PSE subcontractor installing light poles, which won't happen for a while.
But I understood that Chris was developing a punch list.
Yes.
In terms of things that need to be corrected.
Yes.
And I don't know about you guys, but I am receiving a lot of, did you see X, and et cetera, and just having feedback into that punch list to make sure that you have all of the items that the community is finding.
just send those on to us. That's
okay.
a fairly operational kind of thing.
Okay.
So, as always, this is a great planning tool for us so that we try to avoid having that lumpy situation we're in right now where we have some meetings that seem to be too popular and some meetings that are not that full. So if you think of things, even if they're far out meaning a time, that you want, you know, in April I'm going to want to talk about this, or I was hoping sometime in Q2 that we'd have a chance for this. It's great to have those papered so that they're captured, even if you don't know a specific date, and that way we can kind of organize our thoughts. So thank you. And then also this is online. So if you're ever interested in referring to it, go to the City Council website. The calendar's online. So thank you.
One more question.
Yep. Yeah.
The timer that we've been struggling with, is it fixed now?
You know, I don't know. I don't at least use it during study sessions. More flexible. I don't know if it is.
This been a while.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't know it was broken.
Well, he always fixes it somehow, but I don't know. I think it's broken. So I don't know the status of it, but it is. You want to see about getting a new one if it's broken?
No, just fixed.
Christine says she believes it's fixed.
Okay, great.
That's great.
So are we for the good of the order? Anything for the good of the order?
Upcoming is the Martin Luther King Jr. Sing Out event that is going to be on January 28th this year. It's going to be held at the Bainbridge High School. And I'll have more information next week when we bring forward the resolution.
Great. Okay, great. Looks like we're done. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.